Cardinals had a big win last night, and you can't believe what's going on with Jose Martinez. But maybe he'll have a new infield mate at some point here in the next few months. Joining us right now on the Ryan Kelly Morning After on the Appliances Counter phone lines, the former GM and 1999 Major League Baseball Executive of the Year, SiriusXM radio host and columnist for The Athletic, plus insider for CBS, ladies and gentlemen, it's Jim Bowden. Jim, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys this morning?
Very good. Thanks so much for joining us. Cardinal fans, understandably, a little concerned with the offense after they got carved up by both the Diamondbacks pitching staffs and the Brewers. The Brewers being a big surprise, but they got healthy last night against the Cincinnati Reds. What's your opinion of the Cardinal lineup at this point in the season?
Well, I was pleased on opening day to see Jose Martinez at first base because I thought they really needed another bat with Ozuna, which I still think they need. I look at the team and I say to myself, just go get Josh Donaldson from Toronto at some point. They're going to have to trade him because they're not going to sign him. And I know that John Mozeliak doesn't like rentals. I know it doesn't fit. But, you know, the Cardinals have had a good history over the years of doing that. But I do think one more big bat in the middle is going to be necessary to get to October baseball.
If they got Donaldson, how do you suppose they juggle the infield? They would move Carpenter, what, to second? Would that mean Wong would be the guy out?
I mean, look, I'm not trying to be mean about this, but at this point in Carpenter's career and what Wong has not done, I don't care what you do at second base. I don't care if it's either one of them or a jerk. All I know is that I need another big boy in the middle of that lineup with Ozuna and Martinez that can bang and do some damage and carry this team. That's important to me. DeJong's going to hit the homers. I don't think he's going to hit for average. I think he's going to strike out a lot, but you're going to get the 25 to 30 homers that you signed him for. But I really think you need a hitter, not a power bat, but a hitter. And that's what someone like Donaldson would do. So I guess to answer your question, whether it's Wong at second or Carpenter at second, you know, I'm a little bit worried about Matt. I'm glad he's still walking, but he's not the same player that we saw 2 and 3 years ago, and I think we all have to recognize that.
Yeah, his throwing arm looks like it bothers him too. That looks like a kind of a painful throw from third base when he plays there.
No, there's no doubt. There's no doubt.
Yeah, you're right. You know, Jim, that's the thing. We were kind of going through the Cardinals, you know, as of yesterday, being below 500, but looking at their numbers, really with the exception in the lineup specifically of Jose Martinez, I don't think that there was anybody going, yeah, that's probably above where they're going to be. In other words, there was room for growth with the vast majority, but I do see Matt Carpenter, and then you look at the trend that you're making reference to over the last year or two, and I'm not sure how much more he's going to go up. He just does not look like the same player. What do you think's going on there specifically that's caused him to have some drop-off?
You know, the one thing we can never measure in baseball is age and decline. You know, I mean, some guys have it when they're 35, some guys have it when they're 30, some guys have it when they're 31. I mean, but the one thing we all know is that all the algorithms say that prime years are 25 to 31. Matt's 32 years old. Now, I'm not saying that's the problem. It could be a shoulder. It could be an injury we don't know about. But, you know, we're watching a player that, to me, can still get on base, which is good, still has 15 to 20 home run power. But that being said, just not the impactful player that you need. He's become a support player. He's not the same player that we saw, say, in 2015, 3 years ago, where he was more than that.
Jim, I know you talked to Mike Matheny in the last week or so. There's obviously a feeling here in St. Louis with all the success that we've had over the years that if Mike doesn't get this team to October this year, it's going to be probably time for a change, which is hard to believe when you look at his record. But what do you think about Mike Matheny?
I think Mike's done a good job with the team. I know he takes a lot of heat in St. Louis, but I also remember that Hall of Famer Tony La Russa took a lot of heat there. Took a lot of heat in years that he won world championships in St. Louis. So, I mean, I don't know how to kind of interpret that. I would think that my concentration would be, how can I build a better baseball team? You know, how can this infield defense become better? How can I have a lineup that scores more runs? I think what I'm excited about with the Cardinals is the fact that Luke Weaver's the real deal. He's better than advertised. Jack Flaherty's the real deal. He's better than advertised. guys. You're going to get Alex Reyes back May, June at some point. He'll have some kind of role the first year back. But you look to the future, and it's like, wow, Martinez, Reyes, Weaver, Flaherty, there's a really good rotation for years to come. So that's what I get excited about when I think of the Cardinals. I love picking up Greg Holland, having that impact closer, because I got to be honest with you, if they were going to try to close with Dominic Leone and Lyons, this team was not going to make the playoffs and was barely going to win more than they lost. So the Holland pickup was huge. I think the infield defense, we got to just keep watching and trying to figure out that infield, right? I just don't understand right now second and third base. Martinez isn't a great defender at first, but the bat probably makes up for it there. I would spend a lot of time trying to concentrate on that. I think the outfield's going to be fine. Fowler, Pham, Ozuna, they're going to produce enough where that's not a concern. I think the defense will be fine out there. Yadi obviously is aging like a nice bottle of Opus One. I mean, he looks phenomenal. But to me, it's like second base and third base are just annoying to me. It's just like, you know, how long are we going to give Wong a shot? What are we going to do with Matt at this point? I just feel like improvements or upgrades, significant upgrades, would really help this team a lot. And when you have a pitching staff like this, infield defense to me is huge, and the metrics are not good in terms of the Cardinals' infield defense and making outs that they should make in terms of lack of range.
But with the lineup they have now, they may not be able to keep up with the Pirates. You think Pittsburgh's for real? They've got off to a great start.
I do. Look, the one thing I don't know about the Pirates is their rotation, but I'll tell you what, the lineup is really good. It looks like Polanco and Bell are finally going to live up to the potential that we all talked about 3 and 4 years ago. Colin Moran's off to a really good start, and I know that Neil Huntington felt like when he made that trade that Moran had turned the corner last year. Certainly, he's one of those guys that bought into the launch angle and showed big improvement last year and looks really good out of the gate. Corey Dickerson was a great last-minute pickup because it gives them a 25-home-run bat. They've got Frazier they can put in left field for defense as well. So I look at this lineup, and I do think they're going to score enough runs, without a doubt, up and down that lineup. They've got the closer in not Rivero anymore. It's Vasquez, Felipe Vasquez.
Yeah, change his name, Doug.
Yeah, right in the middle of the season, right? So my big question is, you know, Jameson Taillon has looked really good in his first couple of starts. Trevor Williams wins again yesterday. He's 3-0 to start the year. If their rotation is good enough, Pittsburgh will hang around. And if it's not good enough, then like every other team that doesn't have a good enough rotation, they won't. But that's going to be the key to that team. If their starting pitching can hang, then they're going to be in the race with St. Louis and Milwaukee and the Cubs for the division and a wild card.
Jim Bowden's our guest on the Appliances Counter phone lines. Tim McKernan, Jay Randolph Jr., and Doug Vaughn with you here on the radio program. You made mention of Josh Donaldson at the outset, and you've been pretty specific about it in your pieces and broadcasts as well regarding the natural fit that it seems for the Cardinals and the Blue Jays. My sense, Jim, and we might have talked about this during the offseason, I don't recall, my sense was that going into the offseason, the Cardinals had a plan to get one of the Marlins outfielders. They figured they'd get one of the three, that they would get a closer, and maybe they wound up getting the closer that they wanted. They just were going to wait for that market to go to where they needed to be. I don't know. But I also feel like they planned on getting Josh Donaldson and might have been surprised by the fact that he was not made available. And I had somebody that I would consider a pretty good source telling me that one of the frustrations for the Cardinals with the Donaldson talks was that the Blue Jays weren't sure if they were going to go into seller mode or buyer mode, and some of that had to deal with what was going on with the Red Sox and J.D. Martinez to seeing how the American League East would wind up shaping up, and it delayed everything, and then they wound up holding on to Donaldson. So as you made reference to, the Cardinals have had designs on Donaldson for a bit. How likely do you think it is that the Blue Jays move him over the next few months?
I think they're going to move him at the trade deadline in July. I don't think over the next few months. I think it'll go to the deadline, and if Toronto's in it, they won't. But I don't think they're going to be in it. I think by the time we get to the end of July, my own personal opinion is the Red Sox and Yankees will have enough distance from Toronto. And I don't think that Mark Shapiro is going to want to just take the draft pick there for Donaldson. I think he's going to want to get more than that. The information that you heard in the offseason, I had heard the same thing. The only difference is I also heard that there was an exchange of names or a range of prospects that Toronto would have wanted back for Donaldson, and that was at the level that the Cardinals just did not have interest for a rental player. Mm-hmm. which made sense. But that price will come down July 31st when you're only talking about a two-month rental. And I think St. Louis will probably be in the race there, and I do think that they're going to have that need. And the reason I keep talking about Donaldson and the Cardinals is there's nowhere else to send him. That's the fascinating part. Third base is a high inventory position with every single contending team. Nobody has a need. You know, Washington's got Rendon, the Mets have Frazier, the Cubs have Bryant, the Dodgers have Turner, the Diamondbacks have Lamb, the Indians have Jose Ramirez, the Angels have Cozart, the Astros have Bregman. So you go around, and there's only one team needs a third baseman, mm-hmm. right, in theory. And that's why I think at some point there's a match, and I think that at some point the price will come down to a level that Mo could be comfortable with. And if Mo has interest in signing him as a free agent, the Cardinals have had a history, whether it be Holiday or Walker, they've had a history of, okay, if we get the guy here, they'll love the city and end up signing here, which definitely I think would be the case, especially with someone like Donaldson. So that's why I just think it's such a good fit, because A, they've had conversations, B, they're the one team where Donaldson really fits, and C, I can see JD signing there long term.
Yeah, they did have a streak really going back to Mark McGwire in 97, and then him signing an extension in 1998, and then, like you said, then it goes with Edmonds and Rollins and Holiday and so on and so forth. Along those lines of a potential trade and then signing a long-term deal is Manny Machado. Do you think that he will get moved this season, or will that just simply be a free agent play?
It's going to be a free agent play from what I understand. I don't see the Orioles selling. The conversations I've had with their front office is the owner is all in to go now. They want to win right this minute, and that's their philosophy. They did shop Machado. They got the lousy offers they did at the winter meetings, and after looking at all of them, they said, let's just go for it. That's why they committed the money to Cobb. So I don't think they're going to move him, and I think when you get to the deadline, I think they'll be close enough to the second wild card position that they'll hang on and try to win with him. I also don't think there's any chance that he signs back there, and I get the strong impression that he would love to either be a Yankee or a Cub.
Oh, really? They're right.
Jim, there were a lot of Cardinal fans upset to see the Cardinals trade Randall Grichuk in the offseason, thinking that he was about ready to explode, and I see he's 3-39 this year with the Blue Jays. You think that his job there could be in jeopardy now? I mean, you can't have an outfielder going 3-39.
Yeah, I mean, I never thought he was going to hit. You know, he's one of those four-tool players that never had the hit tool. And I remember having a discussion with Matt Holliday when they were teammates, and Matt kind of going through his swing with me because he felt the same way. Just a lot of questions about certain pitches and pitchers that he just wasn't going to be able to hit with that, with the swing path that he has. You know, I do think if you play him every day, he'll end up hitting 240 with 20 homers. That's what he is. Not more than that. Not the solution. So Piscotty was the guy that I liked between Grichuk and Piscotty, because I still think Piscotty can be a 280 hitter with 20 home runs and 80 RBIs and is a good makeup guy. So he was the one that I preferred over Grichuk. Yeah, I mean, if you look at the Toronto outfield, the corner outfield, there's a lot of questions. Right, there's Granderson, there's Pierce, they've got Teoscar Hernandez, they've got Grichuk, and you know, to me, all of them are fourth and fifth outfielders on a championship caliber team.
While we have you, just curious what you think will wind up happening with Bryce Harper.
Well, he's going to get to free agency. The Nationals have zero chance, from what I'm told, of signing him. And so I think he's going to depart. From there, I think everyone else is just going to guess. I have no idea. I mean, obviously, like everyone else, I've seen his Instagram and his comments that he wants to play with Chris Bryant. I can't see how Theo would commit that kind of money, having Jason Hayward on the books. Obviously, a lot of people have linked him to the Yankees because he was a Yankee fan growing up. I'm not sure you can have three corner outfielders, and they're not going to be able to trade Stanton, so, you know, and they've got Judge, so I'm not sure how he fits there. So, you know, I kind of look at the Dodgers, the Angels as being two logical spots for him, but it'll be interesting for sure. Maybe even St. Louis, who knows?
Of the three, Harper, Machado, and Donaldson, it sounds clear to me that you think that the one that would be most likely to be coming to St. Louis would be Donaldson.
That's my opinion, yes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I would rank them Harper, Machado, Donaldson in that order.
Sure. No, understandable. The Yankees couldn't possibly have Harper and Machado and Stanton, right?
No.
Yeah, okay.
No, no.
Yeah.
No, and I'll be honest with you. I mean, Hal Steinbrenner is really committed to young players. He wants to win with this young group. But if he doesn't win, then I think they'll go play checkbook baseball. They just keep getting linked behind the scenes with Machado over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure they're being linked with Machado to play shortstop. I think they're being linked to play third base and keeping Didi at short because they love Didi. They really feel that he has been the answer since Jeter left. But Machado at third base there certainly makes a lot of sense. And if the Orioles were to drop out of it and trade Machado, even though it's in the division, I mean, there is a good fit between the Yankees and Orioles because they could offer Andujar, Frazier, and one of those pitching prospects, and that would be a pretty good match. And if that's all the Orioles could get, it would be something, because I think Andujar can be a middle of the order bat, and that would be a decent trade for them as well. But again, I don't think the Orioles are going to trade Manny based on what I'm hearing.
Jim Bowden, SiriusXM radio host, and you can read him on The Athletic, plus insider for CBS with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, joining us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Jim, thanks so much for the time this morning.